that you can
stand on his word.
Stand on his word. When you've stood off, you can stand. Do what you've learned. Remember, all you've read is true.
It's true.
God said
he'll always
bring you through. In spite of everything you've heard, stand on his word. I know for sure that life can let you down. And those voices in your head will start to pound. Oh, there's pain and woe about you, testing everything you've heard. When you've done all you can to stand on his word. Woo! Hallelujah! When you've done all that you can, my God, stand on his word. It works, it works. When you've so all that you can say,
you just gotta do what you've learned.
Like Satan came to Job,
he's gonna come to you.
He's gonna come to you.
What he's gonna do for the road bush?
Accusing God.
Denying faith is true.
Woo! Oh, I like this part.
But in life's darkest trial,
God understands.
Trust him.
Turn with me this morning to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 20. Would you turn with me this morning to the book of Luke? The book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21. We'll begin reading with verse 25. I've never had a problem like I'm having with this sermon. I usually start with a title that really gets a hold of me. And I kind of had one that spoke to me earlier. But then as I studied the passage that the Lord has given me, I found so many sermon titles that I haven't been able to choose which one to use. And so I'm going to give you all of my sermon titles after I've read this text. And then I will preach from each of them. Not a whole sermon on each, I promise. The sermon will be one sermon in all, and I may not even get to all of them. But I really want you to hear this wonderful text of Scripture. The book of Luke 21, verse 25, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts fell in them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. I tell you with truth, your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now bud forth or shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Can I read that again? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You can't read that text of Scripture without seeing one sermon title after another sermon title. You may be seated. Keep your Bible in your hand. Keep your Bible in your hand, please. I want you to stay right in tune. I want you to stay right in tune. Listen carefully. Let me give you the titles that I thought about. Men's hearts fell in them for fear. Why? You know, I don't remember anybody I've talked to for several days in the grocery store, at the service station, wherever I was, and I've witnessed everywhere I go, just about. I mean, sometimes I feel a block, and I step back. I'll try to obey the Holy Spirit. And I find that people are fearful. Something is happening all over this globe that makes you tremble. Maybe you don't look at any news. Maybe you just don't keep up with it. I don't blame you if you don't. But I tell you one thing. If you know what's going on in this world, your heart is trembling. I'm a servant of God over 62 years. And I have felt tinges of fear lately that I don't ever remember feeling. It just looks so doubtful. It just looks so gloomy. It just looks so fretful. You just can't be sure of what's next. But then I love that part of that same verse, the last words, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now let me tell you something. Nothing ever shakes the heavens that doesn't also shake the earth. And nothing ever shakes the earth that doesn't also shake the heavens. So when you talk about the powers of heaven being shaken, you're talking about a totality experience. You're talking about a universe that's trembling and shaken and changing. Everything is in an uncertain mood, and in an uncertain strain, and it's just like everything is out of order. That everything is troubling. And then move into verse 28. Look up and lift up your heads. Look up. Oh, you say to me, Brother Chambers, how in the world can you look up if you look around you? If you read the newspaper, if you see the news, if you know what this one is saying and that one is saying, you know what's going on in the Middle East, in Ukraine, with the Russians over in China now. They're really, really stretching their muscles and doing things that they've probably never done before. And you can go from one place to the other and everything is on a stretch. Everything is in a diddle. Everything is all messed up. And the Bible says regardless of all of that, regardless of everything you see, regardless of all the troubles that are coming at you, look up and lift up your head. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? Look up and lift up your head. Oh, I can't look up for looking out. Well, quit looking out so much and start looking up more. Can someone say amen? Quit looking out so much and look up. And don't ever look out without looking up. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, look up. Look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And then I like those words. This generation shall not pass away. Not my generation. Those, I was thinking last night, now what generation could be seeing all of this kindly on a new scale? And I thought about you, Brother Aaron, your age, your generation. You're the generation, Sister Vet, you're in that. There's a few young enough around you. Dylan, all these young people are in that. Some of you are in that. But I want to tell you something. This generation, that's now the key generation, we're the old folks. We're not. Our generation is almost mostly in the grave. I hadn't been to a funeral in some time that wasn't younger than I was. You know, you get to feeling kind of funny, you know, when every time you go to a funeral, they're younger than you are. You go to wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm here because God's keeping me here. I'm preaching the word, hallelujah, straight as an arrow, as straight as I can see it. So look up, lift up your head. Then verse 34, take heed to yourselves. What a sermon title. Take heed to yourselves. Quit being so foolish in your conduct and your lifestyle and your schedule. Look up, look up, look up. Take heed unto yourselves. And then I like these words, that day come upon you unawares. That day might come upon you unawares without your knowledge. Suddenly. All of a moment, time, everything takes this great twist in a new direction. The Son of God has appeared in the sky. The Antichrist is being turned loose in his sphere. Everything is wrong. Everything is out of order. He said, take heed lest that day come upon you unawares. Then we could use this sermon for as a snare shall all this come on this earth. For it is a snare. Shall all this come upon the earth? And then I couldn't quit without thinking about that last word. And to stand before the Son of Man. And to stand before the Son of Man. Can you imagine standing before the Son of God? Hallelujah. Can you imagine? These are only the raptured folks. This is not the white throne judgment where the wicked will answer. This is the blessed rapture where the saints have gone up to meet the Lord. And now they're going to stand before the Lord. I can hardly wait for that. Hallelujah. I want to be so faithful. I want to be so devoted that when I stand before him, there won't be a sliver of fear. There won't be a sliver of anxiety. There won't be a sliver of you know, unconcernedness or weary. Oh, but I can stand before him with my shoulders as square and as broad as possible and know that I have kept the faith. I've finished the course. I've done what he called me to do. Now, all those sermons are really good sermons that need full attention. But let's just take them one at a time and see what we can look and find and discover. Back to that wonderful second verse, men's hearts fell in them for fear. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe in the history of America. I don't believe in the history of our culture and our society the history of what's happened in the Middle East, the history of what's going on up in the Ukraine and the Russian area, what's going on in China, what's going on in Turkey, what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Iran. I don't believe there's ever a time when things were as awesome and fearful as they are right now. Not in the history of America. Not in the history of anybody who's sitting here this morning. Never. Never. We're living in a day that men's hearts are failing them for fear. There is a feeling of fear. I've heard it over and over for several. How many of you have heard it from other people the last days? Raise your hand if you've been hearing the same thing. People are afraid. People are concerned. People are wondering what's going to happen to America. What's going to happen to our religious freedoms? What's going to happen to the things that we have loved so dear in this country of America? What's going to happen to our financial stability? I read one report after the other that America is fixing to have a crash that's going to be unlike anything that has ever happened. I just don't read them reports because my heart won't take them. You know, I just don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing, I'm looking up because my redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the crowd that are so fearful are those who don't really know that Jesus could come at any moment. If you know he could come at any moment, you can rejoice and you can be glad. But the world is going to move further and further into this fearful state. I am of the absolute opinion that things cannot get better until the rapture. That things cannot get better until after the 7-year tribulation period is over. I'm absolutely convinced that there's going to be a growing uneasiness, a growing troubled feeling, a growing in anxiety. The politicians of America are a terrible lot of men and women there's some good ones among them, but I'm telling you, the majority of them don't have a clue to what we're facing. And their determinations are never taking the Bible into context. Everything has to do with sociological problems and sociological ideas and psychological difficulties. Everything has to do with man in his great wisdom figuring out the course to take. And I'm telling you, none of that has the answer for this world. None of that has an answer for where we're headed and what's taking place. It is a day when the hearts of men are fearful. It is a day when those that are unlearned and unknowledgeable, those who have rejected God, resisted the truth, only go further and further into their resistance. I know people that have turned from God over the years, and I see them as becoming more and more committed in their rebellion, in their stubbornness, and more determined that they shall do what they please to do. Even though they may be fearful, they're looking to themselves or some other source for the answer. They're not aware that the only real answer is up there. Hallelujah. So men's hearts are failing them for fear. And that is going to get worse. Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said this was a proof of the time of his coming. I'm looking for him to come. I'm looking for him to come. Oh, I really am. But then, the one that I think the Holy Ghost poured to my heart with greatest stress and greatest sense of concern is those words, "For the powers of heaven shall be shaken." For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now listen to me carefully. For some months now, I have been troubled because it's so hard to pray. For months now, I've been troubled because it doesn't seem to matter how hard you pray and how deeply you sob in your praying and how anointed the Holy Ghost comes upon you as you pray. And how desperately you cry out to God that it seems like bringing an answer to those things that trouble the world around us seem to be far away. I do not understand how many preachers I know who are full of the Holy Ghost, who love the way of God, the will of God, the word of God, who are doing right, but they're struggling with things around them. I'm amazed at it. I believe there's a shaking of the heavens. And as I said earlier, the heavens cannot be shaken without the earth being shaken at the same time. One cannot, the Bible said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever's happening down here is happening over there. Whatever's happening over there is happening down here. And we're in a period coming down to the end and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it pleases God to put this world in a mode and a mood of being shaken, so that we get ready for the darkness that's coming, and that men and women who will look up and lift up their head can have every reason to do so, and can of necessity they better do so. I'm gonna tell you something. You ain't got no safety this morning but in the Lord. I want you to know one thing. You don't have any assurance but in the Lord. I want you to know that you are sitting duck if you're not kept by the power of God's Spirit. I want you to understand, friend, the powers of the heavens are being shaken. And my Bible said he's going to shake it. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. If you can be shook, you're going to be shook. If your faith can be tried until you maybe even consider turning aside, it's going to happen to you. But if you got your mind made up, hallelujah, the heavens are going to be shaken. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You see, God's planned this thing all along. Could I tell you without one quiver in my voice that there's not one thing happening that God hasn't allowed to happen? Could I tell you that nothing out there has taken God by surprise? Could I tell you that nothing that's occurring is going to change the mind of God or trouble God or stop God's plan and God's program? Can I tell you, will you listen to me? There is nothing any politician, there's nothing any government agency, there's nothing any disease that's coming, there's nothing that any earthquakes that's going to occur, there's nothing that's happening up in the Ukraine, there's nothing happening in the Middle East that is going to take God by surprise. I'm here to tell you, God is in control. The Father is in control. Woo, hallelujah. He is in charge. It is his program. It is his plan. It is his scheme. And he's getting this ready because he can hardly wait until his son can choose the bride. Hallelujah. And the bride with the Lord can watch the 7-year tribulation. And then the son is coming to set up his kingdom on this earth. And we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. And that's just the prelude to eternity. Hallelujah. Well, oh, hallelujah this morning. So, no question about it. For the heavens, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This blood moon was no accident. When did it occur? It occurred right on feast days. That made it very clear that God had the whole thing in his plan. It's all the business of the Father. Every earthquake you hear about, every great slaughter of animals from some freaky thing in the natural world, everything that's happening, the diseases that's coming, the pestilence that's coming, the famines that's coming, everything that's happening, it's all on plan. It's all on God's program. It's all on God's allowance. He doesn't please for any. I had a lady yesterday that got all troubled, because I was preaching or teaching about the 17th chapter of Revelation. And she says, I just don't believe this. I don't believe God's planning something like this for us. I don't believe God's going to allow something like this. You know, we've got plenty of people in our world today. You give them something in the Bible about God's judgment, and they just don't believe that part. They can only believe that which is like a picnic. That which is, wonderful. That which is, God is a God that he's given you everything you can imagine. And he just wants you to live in peace. And, oh, he wants you to have nothing but the best prosperity. He wants you to become great. And he's planning, you know what they're preaching. Well, I'm here to tell you, God's getting the people ready to be his for eternity, and they'll be tried by fire. Do you hear me? They'll be through the furnace, and they'll come out with pure gold. Hallelujah. And they'll be his forever. Is anybody hearing me, brother Chambers preach this morning? Listen to me, church. Let's move on to that next one.
Look up and lift up your head. I wonder if there's anybody in the building this morning that can look around you at the newspaper and the politicians and all the wars and rumors of wars and all the dark things occurring. And in spite of it all, you've got the courage and you've got the stamina and you've got the dedication that you're keeping your eyes up on the sky and you're looking up and you're rejoicing because you know all of this is a sign that he's getting ready for the kingdom of God. Hell, anybody can do that. Stand up and do it, will you? Anybody. Make sure you mean business. Make sure you really can. Look up and lift up your head. For your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. We're fixing to get out of here. Do you hear me? Woo! Hallelujah. That's right, Brother Allen. I love that, seeing your hand up like that. Hallelujah. Oh, stick it up a little higher. Thank you, Lord. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, it's almost over. All of these things are part of God's program and part of God's plan. And he's getting us ready. He's getting us ready, young man. He's getting us ready back there, Jesse. He's getting us ready. Hallelujah. Are you going to go when he comes? Look up. Don't look out if you can't look up. That's my theme this morning. If that's any theme, Aaron. Don't look out if you can't look up. Don't read the newspaper if you can't look up when you get through. Don't listen to the news on television or on the internet if you can't look up when you get through. Hallelujah. I don't care what's happening. Your job's in jeopardy. What are you worried about? Unless you hadn't been paying your tithes. isn't that okay, brother Ed? The only folks who their job gets in jeopardy that should be afraid of those who haven't been paying their tithes. Brother, I'm telling you, I know your faithful giving. You don't have a thing to worry about. The God you serve is he knows exactly what your need are. He does. He's in the process of having to change jobs. You think God's all troubled about Allen Church and what's going to happen to him? God ain't troubled a bit. I imagine Allen's been troubled a few times because I know I'm just like him. I'm human too. We're all human, Brother Allen. You don't have to worry about that. We're all human. We all can feel it sometimes. How many have ever felt like you was going to tremble until you stopped and thought your way through it and said, hallelujah, I'm trusting God. What I got to worry about? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You may be seated. I want to tell you something, church. We are one blessed people to have this Bible to go by. We're one blessed people to have these great truths of the scripture to go by. I had one call after the other yesterday. People say my preacher won't preach on the book of Revelation. You know what I told them? If your preacher won't preach on the book of Revelation, go tell him. If you're not going to preach on the book of Revelation, I'm going somewhere else and find me a church that does. Now, most of them are too wimpy to do what I told them to do. Because that's the kind of world we live in. We got more wimpy people today than there ever was. I mean, people just don't seem to have the courage. I call it bulldog courage. I mean, my wife has a sign. Says an old bear lives here with his honey. And I remind her every once in a while. I say, you know, don't expect anything out of me but being an old bear. I'm here to tell you, I'm not about to get all troubled. I'm not about to lose my courage. I'm just about ready to go. Hallelujah. Maybe I got something on some of you who are still young'uns. You know, we old folks know they won't be long. We're going to leave you with this mess if Jesus tarries. We're going to leave you with it. We're going to be out of here and gone. Oh, well, that's just a little fun. Listen, look up. Look up. Turn to somebody and say, look up. Look up. Look up, Sister June. Look up, Sister Joan. Look up, Sister McGuirt. Hey, I didn't tell you that Sister Ginger's got her grandbaby here this morning. How about, isn't that wonderful? We'll remember that. Don't let me forget that in a minute, will you? Start praying for the grandbaby. I'm kidding. That's just in fun, Ginger. Listen, let me go to the next one. Listen now. This generation shall not pass away. You say, Brother Chambers, do you believe in setting dates? No, sir, I don't. Nobody knows when the time is. But I believe this generation, that's, as I said a while ago, 30-some age, I believe you are the generation that shall not pass away. I believe he's coming before it's time for you to die, unless you live careless and die young. I really do. I believe he's coming. I believe he's coming. I believe we're right there. I feel like I'm sitting on the edge of eternity. I feel like I'm just on the verge of the greatest time. I get to thinking about walking down those streets of gold. I get to thinking about heavenly Jerusalem. I get to thinking about my mansion in New Jerusalem. I get to thinking about all the good things I got ahead of me and all the good things you've got ahead of you. I'm here to tell you something, folks. We are one blessed people. If you're right with God and you're living it, if you're not living it, I feel sorry for you. Don't just claim to be saved and live like you aren't saved. If you're saved, live like you're saved. That means Jesus is the first in your life and he's the center. And you're looking, if you don't have a church, you're looking for one to settle down and become a faithful member and be a part of the work of God. Oh, what a joy it is indeed. But let me move on. Listen now as I go to the next one. Take heed to yourselves. We live in a world, and listen to me, this is good. We live in a world where most people mind other people's business instead of their own. Am I walking on dangerous territory? We live in a world where most people mind other people's business instead of their own. Let me tell you something. The Bible's talking to you when it says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. I want you to stop right now. And I want you to bring your brain into gear right now. Put it in neutral and stop. And I want to get first gear for you. And I want you to get it with me. I'm going to start living with a burden for how I'm living myself. I'm going to start being careful for what I think and how I go about my business. I'm going to be careful what enters this mind of mine. I'm going to put a guard around my brain and say to the devil and the world and everything negative, this is off territory to you. This belongs to Christ. He's the center of my life and nothing else. I'm going to take heed to myself. How many of you will look at me right now and say, I'm ready to take heed to myself? Would you raise your hand up? I'm ready to take heed to myself. 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 Marcus, I'm preaching to you. I'm ready to take heed. I love him. I'm ready to take heed to myself. I'm ready to be concerned about Joseph Chambers. I want to live more close to Christ than I've ever known in my life, Brother Buck. I want to be so careful in how I pray. I want to be careful in how I think. I want to be careful in everything about myself. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts would be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, that's worldliness, that's sleepiness, laziness, and then it's the cares of this life. Let me tell you, keeping your yard mowed, keeping your house fixed, keeping all the electrical problems solved, Then add the church to that, keeping the yard mowed and keeping all the world and the cares of this world are enough to completely drown anybody in this building this morning. Doing a job, serving your company, fulfilling the obligation to everybody that you're kin to. I mean, put all of the cares of this life together. Put them all together and they can drown you. And keep you from being ready when Jesus comes. That's what he's saying. He said, don't you let the cares of this life overcharge you. Don't you let keeping the yard mowed. You say, well, my yard needs mowing. Yeah, I know. Mine needs mowing again right now. But I've got to put Jesus first. Your job will consume you if you're not careful. Your job will eat you up and make mincemeat out of you. Your job, your boss men, we live in a day when boss men, all you just a number. That's all you are. You're just a number. All they want out of you is work and work and more work, and they care little for your future. They care little for your soul. They don't even care much for paying you. That's the world we live in. But you put Jesus at the center of everything. Hallelujah. You give him the totality of your life. And don't you let the cares of this world, don't you let him. You may have to miss a little sleep if that's necessary. You get the work done and find you a place to pray. And you pray till you touch God. You pray till the Bible gets real with you. You pray till the things of the Lord are in charge of your life. So do not let the cares of this life drown you. Lest that day come upon you unawares. Now, you notice that the coming of the Lord will be unannounced. And nobody will know when it's about to happen. No preacher's going to get in the pulpit and tell you Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock it's all going to be over. So get ready. There's not going to be any announcements on the radio. I got all excited on Wednesday and Thursday. And I started sending sermons from last Sunday to everybody. I sent somewhere between 200 and 300 texts with my sermon from last Sunday morning. Brother Chambers, why did you do that? Because I'm caring about souls. I'm caring about souls. I'm warning people that it's almost over. I'm warning people the time is here. We're at the door. I'm here to tell you we're at the door. And it's exciting to know that we're getting ready for the King to come. Oh, what a day it is. So he says, lest that day come upon you unawares. I'm trying to get people to understand that this is about to happen. And there will be no further notice. I'm giving you the only notice you'll hear. I'm giving you the only notice you'll hear. Do you hear me? Not because I'm special, but because God's only going to give you what's in the book. He's only going to give you the notice that's in the word. Nothing else is going to occur except Bible fulfillment that we know is coming. You may not get home to Timmonsville, South Carolina today, my brother. That's okay, isn't it? Is it okay if you don't get home today? If you go up? Yeah. Just being ready to go. That's all that really counts. That's all. For as a snare shall it come on all the world. Good. Now, let me tell you something that come to me that really got a hold of me yesterday. I was thinking about Jesus appearing in the sky. And in my limited thinking, see, I'm a human just like you. Well, how long will it take him to go all the way around the globe in both directions, so that everybody sees him? Then it dawned on me, he don't need that. When he appears, everybody on the face of this earth will see him instantly. You say, how in the world is that going to happen in Australia, see him the same time we do? I don't know, and it ain't my business to figure it out. I just know that's what's going to happen. Now, is that right or wrong? That's right. That's going to be so glorious and so great. And when he appears, everybody will see him at the same moment. Or you say, I don't understand. Well, remember what the devil did. He took Jesus on the mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And the devil has nothing but paranormal power. But my Christ has supernatural power. Well, somebody shout with this, will you? Come on, somebody help me. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, he'll split the sky and the world will know he's come. Woo! And he's coming with glory and majesty. Oh, what a blessed moment that's going to be. I can't wait. I said I can't wait. I'm looking for him to come. I like that last word. I love it. I love it. And to stand before the Son of Man. Right in the skies, he'll come. Catch his bride away. And then he'll have what we call in the Bible the judgment seat of Christ. That's when all of us will be judged. How are you going to be judged? According to your works. According to your works. If you have no works, you are in trouble. In fact, you won't even be in the rapture. He's coming for those who are ready. Those who paid the price. Those who have been faithful in all things. Those who overcome us. Oh, hallelujah. What a moment that's going to be. He's coming and we're leaving, but we won't go far. Somewhere up in the sky, it may seem a long ways now, but it won't seem then when the second heavens pass away. Hallelujah. It'll be just as close as your backyard. Oh, what a blessed day. What a day to stand before the Son of Man, to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I make thee ruler over many things." Now, if I would choose one of these, I would choose this one. Men's hearts fell in them for fear. Men's hearts fell in them for fear. That's the title, brother. That's the title up there on the video. Listen to me. We are living in one momentous hour. We are the most blessed generation of Christians there's ever been. You say, "Now I can argue with that." Oh, no, you could. But I want to tell you something. Our generation is seeing the development and the preparation for eternity. Our generation is seeing the development and the preparation for the rapture of the bride. Our generation is seeing the preparation for the judgment of this old earth and the cleaning up of sin and all of the filth that man has involved themselves and engaged themselves in. We are living on the verge of a 1,000-year millennial reign when this earth will bring forth righteousness as the waters cover the sea. We're living in an hour when the lions will lay down with the lambs. Hallelujah. And there'll be peace everywhere, and you won't need to lock your doors when you leave your house. We're living on the verge of the most glorious moment of human history. We're living on the verge of the greatest excitement that humankind has ever known. I can just imagine seeing those of you ready as we sail up to the sky and look over, and there's a saint and there's another saint that I know. Hallelujah. And we're on our way to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, you say, "I'm living for the day when my troubles are over." I'm living for the day when I see Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it's okay to have the troubles over, but that's not what the rapture's about. The rapture's not about me getting out of this mess. The rapture's about me getting into fellowship with an eternal Christ to live. Hallelujah. Do you realize how many people only think about the rapture when it's hard to survive, and when things are all troublesome and they're having so many difficulties and there's so much darkness around them, and they go to thinking about the rapture? Let me tell you what God says unto them that look for him. I'm looking for Jesus. Can you imagine? I won't need those glasses. Can you imagine? With a brand new body. And there he is. The Son of God. That one whose language was as no other language had ever been. They said of him, "Never a man spake like this man." There's one who stands and can speak to the crippled, and immediately they're whole. Hallelujah. Who can raise the dead. There's the eternal Christ. As you see him in Revelation chapter 1. He is beaming in his glory. As the sun in its strength. His voice is like the voice of many waters. Hallelujah. And he thunders across this world. Come home. It's supper time. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready. Somebody getting ready. Are you ready? Unto them that look for him. Unto them that look for him. He's not coming for people who just want to get out of this mess. He's coming for people who are looking for him. Now, are you with me? Anybody bugged at me? How many are ready to start looking for him? How many are ready to get him in your sight? How many are ready to get so completely caught up in Christ and your love for him? I want you to stand with me, please. You're ready. Hallelujah. Your eyes are on the sky. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's all about redemption. It's all about seeing Jesus. It's all about hearing him say, "Well done." It's all about the glory of the kingdom of Christ. All the troubles we leave behind, they're terrible and they're heartbreaking. But that's not why we want out of here. We want out of here to see him. I think that's one of the most powerful things I've said this morning, is we're not looking for the rapture because of our troubles. We're looking for the rapture because we're in love with our King. Hallelujah. Now look up and tell him you love him, will you? Look way up, right straight up, and say, I love you, Jesus. And I want you to fill me with a love like I have never had before. I want to be so caught up in Christ. I want to be so abandoned to Christ. I want to be so full of the love of Christ. I want to look forward to his appearing. Look forward to his appearing. What a day that's going to be. God bless you, church. Put your hands up and let's just wait on him a minute. Holy Ghost, get us ready. Holy Ghost, visit this congregation. Holy Ghost, make yourself manifest here this morning that nobody will leave this church unprepared. Would you play for me, brother? Oh, just wait on the Holy Ghost with me a minute, will you? Father, we know your coming is at the door. Father, we know your coming is at the door. Father, we are determined to be ready. Hallelujah. Oh, it rains the Sabuavia. Yes, as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Oh, he's my Savior. He's my Lord and Master. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are encouraged now from this message? Let me see your hand. Are you really encouraged? Are you really encouraged? Are you determined not to let the cares of this world trouble you and consume you? I'm going to tell you, this world is one mess right now. It's one mess. There's a lot of people who are religious, but they don't think about Jesus and seeing him. They may want to get out of the troubles they're in, but I want to see Jesus. And I made up my mind this very day to seek his presence more than ever. While they're playing, is there anybody in the building who's not saved? You're not ready for the rapture, and you'd like to bury yourself in this altar and get ready. If you've been a careless Christian, if you half go to church, no commitment, no faithfulness, no readiness, I beg of you, get yourself ready. I beg of you, get yourself ready. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. I love you, church. Would you turn with me this morning to the book of Luke? The book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21, we'll begin reading with verse 25. I've never had a problem like I'm having with this sermon. I usually start with a title that really gets a hold of me. And I kind of had one that kind of spoke to me earlier. But then as I studied the passage that the Lord has given me, I found so many sermon titles that I haven't been able to choose which one to use. And so I'm going to give you all of my sermon titles after I've read this text. And then I will preach from each of them. Not a whole sermon on each, I promise. The sermon will be one sermon in all, and I may not even get to all of them. But I really want you to hear this wonderful text of Scripture. The book of Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts fell in them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. I tell you what truth. Your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now bud forth or shoot forth, You see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Can I read that again? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You can't read that text of Scripture without seeing one sermon title after another sermon title. You may be seated. Keep your Bible in your hand. Keep your Bible in your hand, please. I want you to stay right in tune. I want you to stay right in tune. Listen carefully. Let me give you the titles that I thought about. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Why? You know, I don't remember anybody I've talked to for several days in the grocery store, at the service station, wherever I was, and I witness everywhere I go, just about. I mean, sometimes I feel a block, and I step back. I try to obey the Holy Spirit. And I find that people are fearful. Something is happening all over this globe that makes you tremble. Maybe you don't look at any news. Maybe you just don't keep up with it. I don't blame you if you don't. But I tell you one thing. If you know what's going on in this world, your heart is trembling. I'm a servant of God over 62 years. And I have felt tinges of fear lately that I don't ever remember feeling. It just looks so doubtful. It just looks so gloomy. It just looks so fretful. You just can't be sure of what's next. But then I love that part of that same verse, the last words, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now let me tell you something. Nothing ever shakes the heavens that doesn't also shake the earth. And nothing ever shakes the earth that doesn't also shake the heavens. So when you talk about the powers of heaven being shaken, you're talking about a totality experience. You're talking about a universe that's trembling and shaken and changing. Everything is in an uncertain mood, in an uncertain strain. And it's just like everything is out of order. That everything is troubling. And then move into verse 28. Look up and lift up your heads. Look up. Oh, you say to me, Brother Chambers, how in the world can you look up if you look around you? If you read the newspaper, if you see the news, if you know what this one is saying and that one is saying, you know what's going on in the Middle East and in Ukraine with the Russians over in China now. They're really, really stretching their muscles and doing things that they've probably never done before. And you can go from one place to the other and everything is on a stretch. Everything is in a diddle. Everything is all messed up. And the Bible says regardless of all of that, regardless of everything you see, regardless of all the troubles that are coming at you, look up and lift up your head. Hallelujah. Anybody with me? Look up and lift up your head. Oh, I can't look up for looking out. Well, quit looking out so much and start looking up more. So, can someone say amen? Quit looking out so much and look up. And don't ever look out without looking up. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, look up. Look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And then I like those words. This generation shall not pass away. Not my generation. Those, I was thinking last night. Now, what generation could be seeing all of this kindly on a new scale? And I thought about you, Brother Aaron, your age, your generation. You're the generation, Sister Vet, you're in that. There's a few young enough around you. Dylan, all these young people are in that. Some of you are in that. But I want to tell you something. This generation, that's now the K generation, we're the old folks. We're not. Our generation is almost mostly in the grave. I hadn't been to a funeral in some time that wasn't younger than I was. You know, you get to feeling kind of funny, you know, when every time you go to a funeral, they're younger than you are. You go to wondering, what am I doing here? Well, I'm here because God's keeping me here. I'm preaching the word, hallelujah, straight as an arrow, as straight as I can see it. So look up, lift up your head. Then verse 34, take heed to yourselves. What a sermon title. Take heed to yourselves. Quit being so foolish in your conduct, in your lifestyle, in your schedule. Look up, look up, look up. Take heed unto yourselves. And then I like these words, that day come upon you unawares. That day might come upon you unawares, without your knowledge. Suddenly, all of a moment, time, everything takes this great twist in a new direction. The Son of God has appeared in the sky. The Antichrist is being turned loose in his sphera. Everything is wrong. Everything is out of order. He said, take heed lest that day come upon you unawares. Then we could use this sermon for, as a snare shall all this come on this earth. For as a snare shall all this come upon the earth. And then I couldn't quit without thinking about that last word. And to stand before the Son of Man. And to stand before the Son of Man. Can you imagine standing before the Son of God? Hallelujah. Can you imagine? These are only the raptured folks. This is not the white throne judgment where the wicked will answer. This is the blessed rapture where the saints have gone up to meet the Lord. And now they're going to stand before the Lord. I can hardly wait for that. Hallelujah. I want to be so faithful. I want to be so devoted that when I stand before him, there won't be a sliver of fear. There won't be a sliver of anxiety. There won't be a sliver of you know, unconcernedness or weary. Oh, but I can stand before him with my shoulders as square and as broad as possible and know that I have kept the faith. I've finished the course. I've done what he called me to do. Now, all those sermons are really good sermons that need full attention. But let's just take them one at a time and see what we can look and find and discover. Back to that wonderful second verse, men's hearts fell in them for fear. Now, I want to tell you, I don't believe in the history of America. I don't believe in the history of our culture and our society, the history of what's happened in the Middle East. The history of what's going on up in the Ukraine and the Russian area. What's going on in China. What's going on in Turkey. What's going on in Syria. What's going on in Iraq. What's going on in Iran. I don't believe there's ever a time when things were as awesome and fearful as they are right now. Not in the history of America. Not in the history of anybody who's sitting here this morning. Never. Never. We're living in a day that men's hearts are failing them for fear. There is a feeling of fear. I've heard it over and over for several. How many of you have heard it from other people the last days? Raise your hand if you've been hearing the same thing. People are afraid. People are concerned. People are wondering what's going to happen to America. What's going to happen to our religious freedoms? What's going to happen to the things that we have loved so dear in this country of America? What's going to happen to our financial stability? I read one report after the other that America is fixing to have a crash that's going to be unlike anything that has ever happened. I just don't read them reports because my heart won't take them. You know, I just don't know what's going to happen. But I know one thing, I'm looking up because my redemption is drawing nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the crowd that are so fearful are those who don't really know that Jesus could come at any moment. If you know he could come at any moment, you can rejoice and you can be glad. But the world is going to move further and further into this fearful state. I am of the absolute opinion that things cannot get better until the rapture. That things cannot get better until after the 7-year tribulation period is over. I'm absolutely convinced that there's going to be a growing uneasiness, a growing troubled feeling, a growing in anxiety. The politicians of America are a terrible lot of men and women there's some good ones among them, but I'm telling you, the majority of them don't have a clue to what we're facing. And their determinations are never taking the Bible into context. Everything has to do with sociological problems and sociological ideas and psychological difficulties. Everything has to do with man in his great wisdom figuring out the course to take. And I'm telling you, none of that has the answer for this world. None of that has an answer for where we're headed and what's taking place. It is a day when the hearts of men are fearful. It is a day when those that are unlearned and unknowledgeable, those who have rejected God, resisted the truth, only go further and further into their resistance. I know people that have turned from God over the